Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for being with me tonight. I am Hub Arkush, going to be here until 9 o'clock talking sports with all of you at Chicago's very favorite all-sports radio station, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. And the Chicago Wolves are making big plans for their 25th anniversary. Get your season tickets now and receive exclusive benefits. Visit chicagowolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. Those highlights you heard, of course, the dulcet tones of our very own Pat Hughes, the voice of the Chicago Cubs, right here at 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. As the Cubbies win another one to make it 10 out of 12, they climb into a tie for first place. They are actually two games up on the Brewers in the loss column right now, and until you get to, well, until you clinch anything, the loss column is really all I ever pay attention to, because that's the one that matters. That's the one that allows you to control your own destiny. We'll see what the Brewers do in Philadelphia tonight and try and keep you up to speed on that one. I guess they'll have a first pitch in a few minutes since that is East Coast time. And we've got a bunch of other great stuff planned for you this evening as well. We're going to talk about the Cubs and the hot streak they're in with our very own Shoemouse. David Schuster was at the ballpark today on the air in the post game visiting with Ian Happ, and David will get us up to speed on what's going on with these Cubbies right now. That'll be at 6:30. Also going to visit with Jay Zawoski and talk some Stanley Cup, some Chicago Blackhawks. We've got Rich Campbell coming on. He's going to talk some Cup as well. Rich is not only the outstanding Bears beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and we'll talk about the concluded veteran mini camp. I should say recently concluded. It ended yesterday out at Halas Hall, but Rich is a D.C. guy, a lifelong D.C. area fan, a big Baltimore Orioles fan, a huge Washington Capitals fan, and really couldn't stick around to finish all of our interviews yesterday. He was so nervous and excited about the upcoming Game 5 last night, which the Caps won to claim the first Stanley Cup in their history. But we also want to visit with Jay, as I said, about the Blackhawks and what's next, because, you know, I want to say it seems like yesterday when they were winning three cups in 6 years, but it's actually been a couple of years now since they've been particularly competitive. And this year in particular, not making the playoffs, extremely disappointing after back-to-back first-round exits. So we'll get an update from Jay on what's going on. And I'm really looking forward to, I think Mike Herring also is going to come by to talk some NBA finals, and hopefully we'll get to visit with him before that game takes off. You got game four tonight in Cleveland as the Cleveland Cavaliers try and avoid a sweep, with the Golden State Warriors going in there tonight up 3-0. So whatever's on your mind, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Again, 312-644-6767. And anxious to talk some Chicago Bears, the mini camp. Actually, talking about the football team would probably be the most fun. But we did get a very interesting visit with George McCaskey yesterday. It was unscheduled as far as we in the media knew. We were getting ready to go out and watch practice. And Brandon Favre, the Bears director of media relations, came down and said George was coming down to talk to us. And he read a prepared statement about his feelings about the new NFL anthem policy. He did not really attempt to go into the also failed visit celebration of the Philadelphia Eagles at the White House, although obviously those questions came as well. It was also our first chance to visit with George since the Bears showed themselves to be one of the classier teams in the NFL by re-signing Zach Miller, even though Zach, of course, is an extreme long shot to be able to play in the NFL again. He's going to give it his all, and the Bears are going to do everything they can to support him and give him that chance. So it was good to get to talk to George about that and get his thoughts on why the organization felt it was important. But right now, and again, whatever's on your mind, 312-644-6767, you give me a call, we'll talk about it. But to give us a little direction as we wait to tee you some of you up on the phone, I do want to start with the Cubs because, you know, guys, really, for me, this is kind of the first time since August of 16 that I have felt that this is a team that is capable of doing almost anything. This is a team that is playing outstanding baseball right now. This is a team where guys are really picking each other up, and very few of them are playing their best baseball. That's the most interesting thing about it. I mean, Albert Almora, I'm guessing, can't play much better than he is right now and would love to see him in the lineup almost every day. And yet, if he is, you know, how do you play Ian Happ? Because Kyle Schwarber is hitting again, not to his abilities, or at least what we believe to be his abilities, but hitting much better than last year. And left field's the only place you can put him. And then you put Ian Happ out there today, and he makes not one, not two, but three incredible plays, all instrumental in them winning the ball game. Jason Hayward is playing his best baseball as a Chicago Cub. But other than that, the big guys, you know, Rizzo is hot. There's no question about that. But that's after a really unfortunate start. And so I think he needs to continue this for a while before we're going to say, yes, Anthony Rizzo is playing his best baseball. Chris Bryant is just great. But Chris Bryant is a MVP, and he can play better. We know that. Javi Baez probably playing close to his max. But Addison Russell was getting hot before he banged up his finger. Wilson Contreras just starting to hit the way he did the first half of the season last year. And all of that is just the position guys. Ben Zobrist obviously having a great comeback season. Tommy La Stella, the best pinch hitter in baseball. So you got all those pieces 1 through 8. But what's really intriguing to me about what the Cubs are doing right now is that the pitching isn't there yet. Obviously, Yu Darvish, a huge disappointment through the first 2 months of the season. We want to see him get healthy, most importantly, because we do know he's capable of putting on a Cy Young-type performance. He's not a Cy Young winner. I'm not saying that he's better than he is, but he is a guy who pitches to that level, and that's why the Cubs gave him $126 million. He was brought in to be a co-number one with John Lester, or at least a number two, and he has not pitched anywhere near to that level. I think that when you traded for Jose Quintana, he certainly had been a number two with the White Sox, and with what you gave up in parting with Eloy Jimenez, you hoped he was going to be your number two here. He has also had an extremely shaky start to the season. He's looked great at times and then pitched not so well at other times. He's had hot starts and then suddenly had a bad inning out of nowhere that takes him out of a game. And so you've got really, I think, you know, you hoped your number two, three, or four. Obviously, Kyle Hendricks has pitched to the number two level. So, you know, ideally what you've got is two ones in Lester and Darvish and two twos in Hendricks and Quintana. And then you throw in, you know, Jimmy Chatwood, you know, who you hope is going to give you quality starts. He has not. He has struggled. You know, I guess quality starts technically being six innings with three runs or less, so he's giving you some, quote, quality starts, but I think that's an overrated stat sometimes because it's not an outstanding pitching performance. Now you got Mike Montgomery, who's gotten three starts since Darvish got hurt, and he's been outstanding, and Montgomery wants to be in the rotation. So I think you, if Chatwood cannot be the pitcher you thought he was, as much as you might regret giving him $38 million over 3 years, you plug Montgomery in, he may be better. So that's not anything to worry about right now. But you wonder, as well as they're playing, if Darvish and Quintana pitch to the level you expect them to, and while Hendricks has been very good, his last outing was disappointing, if these guys start to pitch the way you know they can, if you get healthy in the bullpen, you get Carl Edwards back, and you will, obviously. You know, if Brandon Morrow is the real deal based on, he had his, you know, first real rough outing the other night with the home. Well, even that though was kind of a fluke homer into the basket, to the opposite field from a big left-handed, power hitting rookie who'd struck out three times earlier in the game. You know, this team doesn't appear to be missing much, guys. I think that, you know, expecting a repeat was obviously too much. They were worn out, and yet they got to the NLCS for the third straight year. This team right now looks like a team that could conceivably win another World Series for the Chicago Cubs. So if you're jacked about it, you want to talk about the Cubbies, 312-644-6767. Or as I said, anything else you want to talk about, whether it's the White Sox, we can certainly talk about the Bears in minicamp. We're going to talk some Blackhawks and some Stanley Cup hockey in a little while. Give us a call, 312-644-6767. I will also be keeping an eye on the text line, and we will talk about some of your texts as well. Right now, though, we're going to get to the phones. And Mario has been the first one to dial us up tonight from the South Side, and it is my pleasure to welcome him in. Mario, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yes, I just would, you know, you were mentioning the Cubs pitching and how it seems to be the question around the Cubs pitching kind of seems to be the only impediment to them, like, more or less clearing the decks and making a serious run at another title. Yu Darvish actually kind of reminds me of what John Lester was in 2015. You knew Lester was a better pitcher than his early 2015 pitching stats showed. And maybe it's just the case of getting this big contract and the nerves and jitters that result in trying to live up to it right away. You know, I don't know if that's the case with Jason Hayward too, but it's taken him a couple of years. But now it looks like, you know, at least this last stretch, he's doing pretty well. So it looks like the Cubs are really starting to gel at the right time.
Well, Mario, it's certainly a fair point about Darvish because Lester, although Lester was better when he got here than Darvish has been, he was not as advertised and not what you hoped for and what you expected. It took him a while to settle down, and it wasn't really until 2016. It wasn't until his second season when he really, you know, settled in and became the guy that you spent $155 million on. So certainly there's a possibility that Darvish is going through the same thing. I think what is a little troublesome about Darvish is it's coming off the horrible postseason, or at least World Series performance for the Dodgers last year. And there were times early where his velocity seemed to be off by at least a mile or two an hour. Now, what really was strange about this latest injury is that clearly his best outing as a Cub was in Cincinnati, I guess it was a couple weeks ago Sunday, where it was all there. You know, he was hitting 95, he was hitting 96. That cutter was moving, you know, as only Darvish's does, or at least as only, or as well as we had seen it move for him in those five great years in Texas. So, you know, it looked like he had found something, and then you get this tricep strain. And you know, we're not getting a lot of information. They don't seem to be terribly concerned about it, but you're going on to that extended time now where you wonder if there'll even be a rehab start. I think you were already past the 10 days, I do believe. I could be wrong about that. I've got to double check. But it's a concern. And there's no question that concern is being exacerbated by the outstanding job that Jake Arrieta has done for the Philadelphia Phillies. Last I looked, he was 4-2 with a 2.45 ERA. He got bounced around pretty good last Monday, so I think that ERA is probably more like 2.6, 2.7 right now. But that's still just a little more than half of Darvish's, and he's pitched very well. And clearly, you know, the difference in the two as far as Theo was concerned appeared to be about $5 million, as we understand it, because the story, I think it was Gordon Whitmire, had a piece after an interview with Jake a couple weeks ago where he said that they called him the night before they signed Darvish and they offered him $120 million over, I want to say it was 5 years, said it was a take it or leave it. That made Arrieta unhappy. He left it, and the next day they signed Darvish for $126 million. So although I do think there's an extra year on Darvish's deal, and there's some escalators in it. It appears that they valued Darvish just a little bit more than Arrieta. And that I didn't really grasp. I know what the logic is on it. They fear that Jake is a greater injury risk because of his throwing motion, because of throwing across his body. I've heard not Cubs folks, but other people say they believe that Cub folks think he's a Tommy John waiting to happen. But he's also 32 years old, and it hasn't happened yet. And in reality, he's been healthier than Darvish. So that is what Darvish is going to be measured against the rest of the season. And we just got to hope he gets healthy now and comes back and pitches like the guy that the Cubs thought they were getting when they spent all the money. So let's get one more call in. And I got excited. It said Frank, and I saw Park, and I thought it was Frank from Oak Park, but it's actually Frank from Forest Park. And Frank, I'm not disappointed that it's you, but folks who listen to me here on The Score know that Frank from Oak Park is like my Helen Thomas. So, but this is Frank from Forest Park. And Frank, thank you for calling. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I could drive to Forest Park, to Oak Park if you wanted me to.
No, no. Actually, it's not the location so much as that Frank from Oak Park is one of the great orators of sports talk
radio. Well, I was wondering if they ever considered just leaving Montgomery in the rotation.
You know, Frank, it's interesting because there was some concern during the offseason. Mike Montgomery and Joe Maddon talked about this in his postgame press conference. As a matter of fact, it might have been our very own Bruce Levine who asked the question. Montgomery let it be known when he got here, not in a complaining way. He's been great about coming out of the bullpen. He's been great about doing whatever it takes. Remember, he's the guy who was on the mound when the Cubs ended the 108-year drought. So he's been a great member of the organization, but he has made it clear that he wants to be a starting pitcher. And I think he really felt after last season when it was obvious that Jake Hamill wouldn't be back and that Jake Arrieta wouldn't be back, that he thought he was going to get his chance. And he was obviously disappointed when Jimmy Chatwood was signed. And I don't think there's nothing personal between him and Chatwood. But this is what he wants. And Maddon talked about it today, and Maddon said, listen, I respect that he said what was on his mind. I respect that he wants it and he's willing to put himself out there. There's no problem here whatsoever. He's had three starts since Darvish went down. He's allowed one earned run in each of them, and he is stating his case. And the way that Jimmy Chatwood is struggling right now, he hasn't hurt you. Obviously, the club is playing well. But when Darvish is ready, Chatwood's probably got one or two starts left to prove he can be the guy, or I would think they would leave Montgomery in the rotation, and the Chatwood might go to the bullpen. Now, the problem is this, though. Montgomery is also very effective out of the bullpen. With Chatwood's problems, you're not going to be real comfortable bringing him in. You're certainly not going to be able to use him in high leverage situations if you're afraid he's going to come in and walk the first hitter or two or three that he sees. So he doesn't really give you any value in the bullpen if you're forced to take him out of the rotation, other than for him to languish out there waiting for long relief situations where a starter gets knocked out early. So it is a concern. My guess is they're going to do everything they can. I know. I keep texting Tyler Chatwood. Jimmy Chitwood, Tyler Chatwood, they're all the same guy to me. So I'm kidding. Hoosiers is my favorite sports movie of all time. And I just dropped those chimneys in. Yes, it's Tyler Chatwood as Jimmy Chitwood.
You might have more luck with Jimmy Chitwood on the mound than Tyler Chatwood right now.
Well, he certainly was more accurate. We know that. For those of you who hadn't seen the movie, get it. It's one of the great sports movies. How could you have not seen Hoosiers? You've all seen the movie. At any rate, guys, yeah, Tyler Chatwood, Jimmy Chitwood. Tyler Chatwood's the guy we're talking about. The problem remains the same, though, is that Chatwood doesn't offer you anything in the bullpen right now, because if you're going to take him out of the lineup because he can't command his pitches, you're certainly not going to be able to use him in any kind of leverage relief situation. So 312-644-6767. We'll continue some Cubs and some baseball talk this hour. David Schuster will join us in a little while, but love to talk to you as well. Give me a call. We're going to take a quick break here. We're back with more at 670 The Score. Welcome back, everybody. Hub Arkish with you tonight. Lawrence Holmes is off this evening. I will be here until 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, Julie DeCaro will step in until 1, then we'll hand it off to CBS Sports Radio. Best sports talk in town right here all night long. Until 12, I am told by Shane. They've got that wrong right here on the rundown, but whatever. Julie will be here until midnight. I'm sure she's happy it's midnight and not 1. 312-644-6767. Let's get out to Al in Franklin Park. Al, how you doing?
Hey, Hub. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I really appreciate, I want to make a comment on Ian Happ, but I really appreciate your openness to just taking calls on how they come. I feel like sometimes the score is so Bear-centric and, Hub Arkish comes on and it's just time to talk football. And I think in the summer, you get the team that's been the best team in town over the last 4 years. People want to talk Cubs, but I feel like sometimes your bosses and the people at the score feel like you have to go to the lowest common denominator, just talk of Bears, an awful Bears franchise. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, but let me stop you there because that's actually not fair, I don't think. I am I'm hosting the show tonight for 3 hours. I'm here for any sports you want to talk. When they bring me on as their senior Bears analyst or as a guest for a 15, 20-minute hit, then, you know, it's because they've decided to talk Bears in that window. But I am encouraged whenever I'm hosting to talk about anything I want, any sports I want, and I want to talk about what you want to talk about. So please go ahead.
Yeah, no, I guess we'd have to agree to disagree on that. I understand your hits, but I feel like the station is just wants to not give up on the Bears, and they feel like, that, like I said, most meathead Bears fans want to talk Bears, but and it's not open to Cubs fans when this is the Cubs' flagship station and this is the best team in town and it's been the best team in town, and people want to talk about stuff like, you know, intricacies of the game, but we got to always go Bear-centric and talk about if Trubisky's going to do this and blah, blah, blah. So, but
I know, Hub, you didn't do that. That was us.
yeah, you I gave him. Off. I'm sorry.
You literally gave him the chance, and he kept on about what he can't talk about. We're giving him the forum to talk about it. Come on the air and talk about what you want to talk about.
That is Herb Lawrence, Shane Reardon, alongside in the producer booth. Yeah, Al. I'm sorry, but I explained it to you the way I gave you the truth. I mean, nobody's ever told me not to talk about other sports, and that's what we're trying to do. We wanted to take your call, but unfortunately you kind of blew that. So, but it does give me a chance to get to a text here, which I'm trying to understand, from the 847 area code. Oh, I get it, Hub. Montgomery isn't a complainer, but T.O. is. Racist much? Where does this stuff come from? We haven't talked about T.O. since my show came on, but I did do some crosstalk with Danny Parkins and Dan McNeil, and they asked me if I had any inkling as to why T.O. was choosing not to be at the Hall of Fame in Canton for his induction ceremony, and I said, no, I don't. I didn't accuse him of anything. I said, I just don't understand. You know, I don't have an answer for you. So I don't know what that texter thought they were hearing, but one thing I've learned about the text line is that's there for people who don't really want to listen or don't want to talk about what we want to talk about. They just want to do whatever they want to do. So, and keep doing it, guys. We'll get to the texts that are relevant to what we're talking about as best we can. Northwestern football, guys. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. And I see my line 11 flashing. I assume that is Mr. Schuster, David Schuster, the Shoe Mouse, as we occasionally call him here, of course, is an expert on all sports and covers them all for us here at 670 The Score. But he's on the Cubs beat these days, and David was out at Wrigley Field today and is good enough to check in with us now for a little while. And, Dave, I enjoyed your interview immediately following the game with Ian Happ. It was interesting because here you're trying to pat the kid on the back, and all he wanted to do is talk about his teammates. And we get a lot of that from these Chicago Cubs, don't we?
Yeah, you do. And I guess you got to pat him on the back for at least passing on some of the acknowledgments to some of his teammates as well. So, but yeah, he had a good game defensively. And we don't say that very often about Ian Happ. And actually, we even talked to him after the game further. And he told us that some of the criticisms of his defense actually has spurred him on to, a little chip on his shoulder and certainly to try harder defensively. If you play him in the corners, I think he actually can be, especially in left field, and especially even more so at Wrigley Field, I think he can probably play the field pretty well. It's when he gets into center field, and that's a specialty position, even for an outfielder, that maybe he's not as good, obviously, as Albert Elmora. So, but today he was really, really, really good in left field. He made three outstanding catches, including the one that ended today's game.
It's an interesting dilemma, Dave, and we've been talking about this for 4 years now. We went through 4 years of misery while they were trying to be the worst team in baseball, and now they are clearly one of the best, having won a championship just two seasons ago. It's an embarrassment of riches. I mean, Albert Elmora is going to win Gold Gloves. I mean, that's not Cubs bias. That's just a simple statement of fact. This guy is one of the better defensive center fielders I've ever seen. And I've had Cubs season tickets for over 50 years. And I'm talking about with the Cubs and other teams. Ian Happ is not going to stack up. Now, the perception was that Albert Elmora wasn't going to hit, and Ian Happ was, and so you had to platoon him. But Albert Elmora has been the Cubs' leading hitter for average ever since the season began. And so what are they to do?
Well, I think you play Albert Elmora I don't know, 80-85% of the time, maybe even more than that in center field. I think first and foremost, you have to play fantastic defense in center field. And you know, one of the old adages in baseball is being strong defensively up the middle, shortstop, second base, catcher, and of course, center field. I think whether it's Russell or Baez at short, whether it's Baez at second, Contreras is really good defensively. And when you put Elmora in center field, I think you're really, really good defensively up the middle at all four positions. Joe Maddon is obviously a kind of manager that gets everybody involved, whether throughout the batting order or certainly playing rotation in the field. So he does get everybody involved. But I think at this juncture, I think Albert Elmora, specifically because he's hitting right now, he's got to be out there the majority of the time.
Well, he's been hitting all year, and it was frustrating in April and even into May. When no matter what he did, he was still getting maybe only 50% of the playing time, even 40%. He does appear to be, I don't know if he's probably still not at 80 or 85, and I agree with you, I think he should be, but he's getting more time now. And listen, this plays into what Joe Maddon wants to do. Whether you agree with it or not, he is going to manage the entire 162-game season, going out of his way to give rest to every player in that lineup, and this is the kind of flexibility that allows him to do that.
And whether you like it or not, he's always going to do something that people think is wacky. He's had almost everybody on that roster at one time or another be the leadoff hitter. Today, obviously, it was Chris Bryant. He had his reasons for doing it. And you know what? Bryant came through, three hits in his first three at-bats. He's going to be hitting leadoff tomorrow as well, likely at this point. And eventually he'll get, you know, back into the third or second spot in the lineup. But for right now, Joe Maddon, you know, wants to get him more at-bats. He wants to get him more comfortable for whatever, you know, technically whatever he's doing differently. And don't ask me, I never could hit even back in high school. But, you know, obviously it worked today. And like I said, Joe Maddon is different, but for the most part, it works for Joe Maddon.
This segment on The Score is brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car? Search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental difference. Dave, I don't know if you had us on before you dialed us up to join us, but I think it was our last caller suggesting that the obvious answer to Tyler Chatwood's problems is just to leave Mike Montgomery in the rotation when Yu Darvish comes back. Unfortunately, it's not quite that simple. You know, it is what Montgomery wants. There's no question about that. And he is earning that right. But it kind of leaves you with a hole in the bullpen that Chatwood can't fill, because if you can't trust him to command his pitches, you certainly can't use him in any kind of leverage bullpen situation.
Well, for better or for worse, at least for the foreseeable future, it's going to be Chatwood going out there in the starting rotation. Joe Maddon made that very clear after yesterday's game. We could do one of two things. We could either, you know, sit him down, or we could keep throwing him out there, and we elect to keep throwing him out there. The amazing part is, and I, you know, he does have good stuff when he gets the ball over the damn plate. Unfortunately, you know, when you walk five, six, and yesterday seven guys, you're just putting yourself in jeopardy. But I do remember there was a pitcher who ended up being very, very good. This is going to sound like blasphemy, and I actually was talking to Chris Jimenez earlier today about this. But, you know, Arrieta, when he was with Baltimore, he couldn't find the strike zone either. He came to Chicago and eventually got it down pat. He had good stuff in Baltimore. He just couldn't find the strike zone. But when he came here eventually with some help from some of the pitching coaches, he finally got it. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen to Tyler Chatwood. He does have good stuff. He unfortunately just can't find the strike zone often enough. But he does have the good stuff, and Joe Maddon and the Cubs are going to keep trotting him out there for the foreseeable future.
Well, so I'm curious, and obviously you're there every day, you're listening to Joe. I heard what he said after the game today. But does that include once Yu Darvish is back? So you're saying that in spite of what Montgomery's done, you don't think there's any chance that he's earned that fifth spot yet?
Yeah, you know, no, I would say he hasn't earned that thing. I think ultimately, you know, it depends on his health, of course. We're talking about Yu Darvish now. If he's healthy, if he's able to regain, you know, what he's done in the past, he's going to go right back into the rotation. And Mike Montgomery, ultimately, if Chatwood is doing his job, there's a lot of ifs involved here, obviously, Hub, but if all those things happen, Mike Montgomery will go back into the bullpen. He's their swing guy. They love the fact that he can do everything that he has done for them, whether in relief, short or long, and certainly start. But you can't take it away from this guy. In his three outings so far since, you know, he got into the rotation, position here because of the injury to Darvish. He's got an ERA of 1.03. Now, that's not the greatest sample size, but you know what? He's been incredibly effective so far.
All right, so what is up with Darvish? I mean, you know, they did the MRI. Well, no. They said it was negative. They said it was just some inflammation. Is he throwing on the side? I saw him kind of on the outside of the pile after Jason Hayward's grand slam the other night, but that's really the first time I've seen him or even thought about him since he stopped pitching.
You know, he has thrown. Yesterday he did not, and today supposedly he was going to, but of course it was raining like heck this morning over at Wrigley. So I don't know if ultimately before the game started if he went and threw again. It's just a matter of, I guess, building up his arm. Listen, we haven't had a chance to talk to him. In fact, even some of the Japanese writers who are covering him, they haven't had a chance to talk to him. It's a little bit shrouded in secrecy, to be honest with you. We just got to go with what they're telling us, and right now they say that it's a throwing program to build back up his arm. Ultimately, I would imagine, Hub, that they're going to have to send him down to the minors, I guess, for a rehab start or two if he builds up that arm strength. But like I said, right now everything is sort of shrouded in secrecy.
But what you just described sounds like he's not close yet.
I would say he's not close yet, to be honest with you. I mean, again, how long has it been since he's pitched? How long has it been since he went on the DL? This is the second time. Mm-hmm. The first time was for the flu. The second time here because of the arm. And no, I would say it's not. And some people think that it's not going to be until July, until you finally ever see him back into the rotation or on a pitching mound for the Cubs.
All right, let me ask you what's going to be a very unpopular question, because I know that there are certain guys you just don't raise any doubts about, and I have no doubts about them. I'd love to have 25 Chris Bryants. But, you know, I think it's hard to argue that the power stroke hasn't mm-hmm. been gone pretty much since the MVP year. I know he hit, 29 last year, but, you know, that was, 30% less than the year before. He's well off that pace right now. His RBI pace is a little better than it was last year, but he really hasn't been the same player since the end of 2016. He's great. You know, I love having him in the lineup every day, but something is up there, isn't it?
Yeah, I would imagine it is, because the numbers, like you said, are down. Now, after the three hits today, he's hovering right around 300, so you can't really argue with that. His on-base percentage, I don't know what it is in front of me, but it's got to be somewhere upper threes, I would imagine.
I think it was over 400 coming into today, and he got three hits.
Or even over 400, excuse me. So, I mean, you're getting production out of him, but you're not getting the run production out of him. Last year, I equated the fact that, listen, they didn't have a consistent leadoff hitter, and he was batting in the two-hole, and he just wasn't coming up that often with guys on base. That's why his RBI total was down. But his home run totals have been down, obviously, since 2 years ago when he was the MVP. And, you know, after he got hit, unfortunately, with the pitch to his helmet, does he have a home run since then? Maybe one. So definitely his home run power numbers are definitely down. Even he admitted it after today's game. He said, look, I know I'm not the same person. I'm trying to get back to it. And he goes, listen, it's probably better than most people, but it's not up to what I expect of myself. So he knows it. I can't tell you why his power numbers specifically are down this year and even last year. He's just too good and too strong and still not even in his prime yet, Tubb. So I would imagine eventually that's going to come and kick back in. But as you alluded to, it's just not there right now.
Yeah, and the one thing that I would not consider part of the equation is the shot in the head. As scary as that was in the week that he missed, his average is actually up since then. And it's not like he's not stinging the ball. So I don't think you lose power by getting hit in the head. You might lose your courage, but, you know, he's standing in there. I don't think that's the problem at all.
Yeah, maybe that's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
But he admits he's not driving the ball. Today, you know what he looked like? He looked like a leadoff hitter. Mm-hmm. He did on his very first pitch, and he even said he was nervous the very first pitch. You know, up there, he swung at it. He had a line drive right to left field. He had three singles in his first three at-bats. One of them was an infield variety. Today, he was a leadoff hitter for what it was worth.
I think the reality about Chris Bryant, and again, let me say this as clearly as I can to our callers and our texters, I am not unhappy with him. I'm not criticizing him. I wish we had 25 of them. But I believe it was 39 homers and 110 or so RBIs in that MVP season, and there's not going to be another MVP season until he gets back to those kind of power and run numbers. And again, doesn't have to be for the Cubs to win, but it would be a shame, because we talk about him in the same breath with the Bryce Harpers and the Manny Machados of the world.
Yeah, again, I anticipate that his power numbers eventually, maybe once he hits one, they'll start coming in droves. I mean, he's just too good. He's too strong. And again, he's also too young for those things to decrease at this stage of his career. So I think eventually it kicks in, but why exactly it hasn't this year specifically, maybe it's a variety of reasons. I just don't know what they are.
Yeah, I don't know why I do that, because it drives me nuts when other sports talkers do what I just did. But Mike Trout is so clearly the best player in baseball. Why do I go with Manny Machado and Bryce Harper? You hear that all the time, you know. And I just did it. And
but you know what? They're all great. The three names you just made mention, though, they're different players, but they're all great. And I agree with you. I think Mike Trout is still the best player in baseball.
Oh, I think he's a clear notch above the other three. So we'll see. They're all in their mid-20s. They've got plenty of time left. Dave, what else? Anything we should keep an eye on? Anything that we should be worried about? Or is it just this team starting to find its stride?
I mean, listen, I don't think they're kicking in all cylinders at this point. But listen, they've won 10 of their last 12 games. There's nothing to complain about, to be honest with you. And I think as of this very moment, I think they have the best percentage record in the National League. They're tied with Milwaukee atop the division. I think they're percentage points ahead. I know the Brewers are playing right now in Philadelphia. Big three-game series in Milwaukee starting on Monday night. So, it's one of many big series that are still to come. So, but I say this again, I think they still can have another gear to kick it in. I think offensively, they haven't kicked it in the way they possibly can. Contreras had a couple of hits today, but I don't think he's anywhere near what he's expected to do down the road. So, and Anthony Rizzo, after a slow first month, obviously, now his RBI total's up to 44. That's pretty damn good. Baez is in a little bit of a lull right now, but overall you can't complain about him. But again, I think this team still has another gear to kick in, and then it'll still be interesting to see what Theo Epstein and management will do as we get closer to the trading deadline, because if they think they need something, he's going to find a way of getting it.
All right, David, thank you so much for checking in. That is our very own David Schuster. I'm sure he will be spending the weekend at the Friendly Confines, so have a good time out there. The weekend is finally here, and just like the big game tonight, the Mega Millions jackpot of $127 million is up for grabs. You can't win if you're not in the game, so play today. The next draw is tonight. That's tonight, June 8th. It's Friday. That's tonight. 10 p.m. will be the draw. I think it's actually 9:59, but that's close enough to 10. Get your tickets in-store or online now. Visit IllinoisLottery.com or download the Illinois Lottery app to pick your numbers. Play responsibly. You must be 18 or older to play. Also, that segment with David was brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Come into Firestone Complete Auto Care for their epic sales event and get $100 off any purchase of $500 or more. Restrictions and exclusions do apply. Details at driveafirestone.com. Kyle is an LSIP. Kyle, you're going to be next with me here on the air. He's on the phone right now. If you want to join him, 312-644-6767. We're back with Kyle and the rest of your calls, as well as back to the text line in just a moment.
All right, guys, I have it. I finally have it. What I believe possibly could be the most ignorant text I've ever seen in the years that I've been working here at the Score. And guys, that's a pretty high bar. But I mean, I've got one here from the 630 area code. Happily bet you $1,000 Almora never wins a gold glove. He's a nice center fielder, but he doesn't stack up to the elite out there. Cubs fans are severely overrating his defense. That can only come from someone who's never watched a Cubs game. That's the most ignorant thing I've ever heard. I don't care if he plays for the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Marlins, the Giants. Put him wherever you want. Albert Almora is an absolutely gifted defensive center fielder, and to say anything else is just stupid, okay? Whether he wins a gold glove or not, I'm not sure how the voting works. I'm sure he will, because he's just an incredible defensive center fielder.
Can he win a gold glove if he's never a full-time player, though?
Shane, like I just said, I'm not sure exactly how it works. We have another texter here who points out he has the most starts of any Cubs center fielder, but again, that doesn't mean much. You got four or five guys. You know, no, you don't. It's mainly him and Hap, although we've seen Jason Hayward out there. I'm sure that there is a requirement for a certain number of starts. Forget the gold glove piece of it, because I don't know this guy. He probably doesn't have $1,000, and I don't like to bet. I hate the losing a lot more than I enjoy the winning. But to say he doesn't stack up to the lead out there is just dumb. If you've watched him play, he is a truly gifted defensive center fielder. Let's get to Kyle, who has been waiting patiently in LSIP. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
So I was wondering, what's with Randy Rosario? Where did we get him? And do you think we he can keep up this level of success? Or
you know, I'm sorry, I'd have to do a little homework for you, and I will during the next break. I'm not sure exactly how he joined the Cubs organization. I do know that he pitched in his seventh game for the Cubs today, that he has pitched very well. He does not have the remarkable velocity that it seems like everybody coming to the majors has these days. My guess is that on his best day, he's 92 or 93. He threw a beautiful sinker today. He had a couple of them, actually. From the left-hand side, you don't find as much pure fire as you do from the right side. It's a small sample size. Let's see, you know, what's going to happen. There's a lot of guys who come up from the minors and in their first, 5, 10, 15, 20 appearances look good and eventually become less than special. But you got to love what you've gotten out of him so far. Hey, listen, I was ready to write off Luke Farrell. I was furious. I'm trying to remember which game it was about 3 weeks ago where Madden just left him out there. It was an extra inning game that he eventually lost. And I thought, obviously this kid's not ready yet. And then he comes back a week or two later and then single-handedly wins a ball game for you, giving you 5 shutout innings out of the bullpen. So, you've got to give these kids a chance. Rosario, I do believe, was claimed or acquired from another organization. We'll get you the actual facts on that.
Yeah, that's true. He was picked off waivers from the Minnesota Twins.
Okay. And how old is he, Herb?
24.
Okay, so
24 years. Yeah, so I don't know if he's 23 right now.
He's still young, but I knew that the Cubs had claimed him during the offseason, and he's off to a good start. And the reality is, if it had not been for some of these minor injuries and hiccups that they've had in the bullpen, he probably would still be a Triple A. But it came at that time when I think he came up actually the first time, or at least before Edwards went on the DL. Somebody else was nicked for a few weeks, a few games, I should say. But listen, enjoy what you're getting so far because he's looked very good. That was a huge strikeout he got today in the seventh before he went back out for the eighth. Also, there was one other text here that I thought was interesting relevant to all this talk about the pitching. We'll get to it later. We got plenty of time to talk Cubs. I'm here with you till 9 o'clock. We are going to talk a little football and hockey after our next break. Actually, let's get Angelo in here before we break because I think Angelo is still on the Cubs. Angelo, how you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for calling.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
I've been hearing a lot of rumors about Albert Elize coming to the Cubs. What spot do you think that he would be pitching in if he came in? Do you think he'd be a spot starter, or would he be the long reliever?
Well, I don't think he's coming soon. I mean, again, he is one of the better young arms in the system, but and I believe he is being groomed to be a rotation guy. But right now, you're not going to take a kid out of the minors when you've actually got 6 starters and you're trying to figure out which 5 you're going to go with. But I'm reasonably sure, and again, there are people far more knowledgeable on the Cubs system than me, if you want to correct me, but Olive is one of the arms they're excited about down there. I think they eventually do see him as a rotation guy, and because of that, even though he is pitching well right now, I don't think you're going to see him coming anytime soon. We're going to take a quick break here on the other side. As promised, Rich Campbell covers the Chicago Bears for the Chicago Tribune. He is also a huge Washington Capitals fan and a happy man today. So we'll talk to him about both those subjects in just a moment right here at 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.